I've always felt different. I've always seen things, but when I tried to express them as a child, I was always told to ignore it.
There were people that I didn't know that came to me and said, I have this message that I keep getting that I have to deliver to you.
All of a sudden, out of the shadows, a homeless man just jumped right in front of me, and he said, I'm a soul just like you.
I love it.
And I wanted to understand the universe and who and what we are and what are we doing here.
Well, we're all part of this amazing soul wave tapping into each other.
This was an amazing life changer.
You are a light. You have helped me a ton. Thank you.
You've given me the courage to live more from my soul.
Millions of people are awakening. So wake up with Michelle Miche, the place to hear the best-selling authors and experts in the fields of cutting-edge self-help, personal growth, metaphysics, and spirituality. The soul path of awakening. Understand what living awake is.
Hello, Radiant Lights. Hello, everyone. Welcome today to Awakenings. Welcome to this new beginning. And yay, I'm in the chat. Using someone's computer, so I'm in the chat. Welcome everyone in the chat, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also my co-pilots, co-hosts, and it really helped to ground the energy. Also, really got to say, helped me with so much. They let me know how the sound is. A lot of great wisdom in the chat room also. So if you are in the chat and you have questions, sometimes you get your answer. We get great questions in the chat, but also great answers. So if you're listening in the chat, that's great. If you want to ask questions and interact, then you need to just quickly sign up with BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and get in the chat room. All right. Welcome also those of you that are listening by phone and also by computer. Also, you in the archives that are listening later in the archives. You are with us live in spirit. So most of our listeners are in the archives. So listen later on other podcast platforms. If you do want to listen by phone and you also want to call in, that number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment or you want to get a reading, please press 1 on your keypad. So those of you that are listening by phone and you want a reading, or you just want to say hi, whatever, please press 1 on your keypad. Yeah, you can press 1, get you in the queue. Yay, now I see it lighten up. Because I don't always know, you know, sometimes I even people sometimes don't press 1 that are in the queue or listening by phone, and sometimes people are at work or doing something where they can't answer or right at the checkout. I'm going to call you right back. I'm at the checkout. I can't ask my question now. Or they listen and walk away. So again, the number 347-539-5122, 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad to get on air. All right, everyone, we have a great guest today. I happen to really like her. I've watched her videos on YouTube, Betsy of Fearless Intuition. You can connect with her on, obviously, YouTube, Instagram, and also Facebook. And we're going to be diving in a bit to something that's really, I think, all of us are having to focus on is detachment. It's a biggie right now because who is attached is the ego. Lovely ego. Love the ego. As a therapist, nothing wrong with the ego, but we have to learn how to not have that aspect of our being managing our life or running our life or making our decisions. We connect more to the higher self, come from the soul, the intuitive aspect of our being, which is the soul, and that knows already what's happening, what's coming up. So I'm going to talk a little bit, share a little bit of information, then we're going to get to callers. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on your keypad if you want to get in the, you know, you want a question or a comment, want to just talk or whatever. Just press 1 and I will definitely get to you. Also, I want to let everyone know that I do have my Soul Path community on Patreon where we dive even deeper. There's a few ways that you can connect there. to study spiritualism and metaphysics further, and also using the universal laws and manifesting more from the soul. So if that's something that interests you, you can connect with me on Patreon. Also, of course, my YouTube channel and soulplayground.life for resources or download free meditations. There's quite a few things there for your soul support. Also want to let everyone know I do have my tarot classes back. It's this Saturday, as a matter of fact, the 23rd. And you can go to the events and workshops section of soulplayground.life or eventbrite.com if you have an interest in joining us. It's 12 weeks, so it's going to be a whole journey looking at the myth and uncovering the soul's plan and purpose, what's your destiny through the tarot, and also looking at the destiny of your relationships. Like, why are certain relationships in your life and how to better handle them or have them flourish and thrive within relationship, whether it's to yourself or other people, interpersonally or on a even a career level. So again, if that interests you, you can either email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com or check it out on Soul Playground Workshop and Events or eventbrite.com. So again, been getting a lot of people kind of emailing me and some of my clients. So it's so good we're going to be talking about detachment today. One, about detachment, but also people really wanting to know, how do we manage these times? You know, what is, you know, how, and again, I just say, really, this going within, right? Really. I had someone the other day, I asked a lot of, answered a lot of questions on Instagram. I did this Ask Me Anything. So some of you follow me on Instagram or we're connected there. And I may have answered your question. I'll do it again. I think I had over 500 questions come in within 2 days. So, but somebody asked, how do I balance being public, more public? And actually, they're quite a public person, too. I think they are in Cirque du Soleil, dancer, gymnast. And they're friends with a client of mine, friends and colleagues. And I said, well, first of all, he said famous. I said, I don't consider myself famous, but more public. And I said, my meditation, my practice, you know, and people see me when I stay with people or they come to stay with me. I do have this routine. Sometimes I wake up very early in the morning and I do my meditation or the guides come to me. I get information. My visions when I got of what's going on now with the pandemic and all this that's been transpiring, the outbreak, as the guides called it, in pandemic 6 years ago, that was a succession of visions, 4 days in a row, early in the morning. They usually come between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., the hour of spirit, because there's less activity, although now with kind of 24/7 activity, it's a little different. But we do have less EMFs. We have less interference at that time. So I get up, I do my dream work, I do my meditation, I do deeper meditations, maybe some yoga, just reading, just being with myself and opening up to the all that is as much as I can, to God, connect to my higher self. And so I do that in the morning. I really spend time on me time in the morning before I do anything else, clients, anything. Even when I had my wonderful little fur baby, Yoshi, you know, she knew I would, you know, maybe make it shorter, but I would, before I had to take her outside to go to the bathroom. But, you know, you can start your day that way. You don't have to get out of bed and get in a lotus position to meditate. You just do it right then and there. You just connect in. And so I do it in the middle, you know, when I wake up in the morning, and depending which times I wake up and what kind of inner work I'm doing. And I do it at night, but then I also do it throughout the day because I'm in session a lot. So, or if I need to know something or I want to know something, I will stop. You know, some of you have heard, you know, especially you that are connecting with me on Patreon, and I've done some videos where I've literally showed you that I've stopped when I'm walking somewhere to make a decision. I'll stop in the middle of the street and just close my eyes, you know, or I'll walk and I'll kind of just, even with my eyes open, I'll tune in and I'll ask the question. just to make sure I'm not being ego-driven, which is okay sometimes, but I like to try to live my life less by the ego and opening up to the true flow of what I'm meant to do. And that's just kind of fun for me. You know, I like doing that. I like connecting in that way. So it really becomes more of a process, and everybody has their own. But I definitely, definitely recommend that you take time and learn to check in with yourself, with your, not your avatar self, but your, you know, your true self, your inner nature. There's no other way to do it. Yoga doesn't do it. It's, in fact, yoga, when you study traditional yoga and meditation, yoga is the precursor to deeper meditation. It's the physical. Usually what we would do, and as I was taught in Buddhism, Hinduism, in more of the traditional conventional practices, spiritual practices, you do yoga to prepare the mind, because yoga is means yoke, or to create union. And it's to kind of calm the mind down and the body, to get the body prepared to go into a deeper level of communion. And of course, you can do that just with even a few stretches, or, you know, you don't have to do an hour, hour and a half yoga class. You could do 2 to 3 minutes to align you. However, if you are living more and more in the meditative state, more and more in a higher consciousness, or you're working that muscle, right, to align into a higher consciousness, you don't need an hour, 45 minutes, hour, hour and a half to settle you in or calm you down. You know, it's a very Western concept. And this is why frequency of meditation is in some ways better than longer meditations. Both are beneficial, but it's all consciousness anyway. So when you're learning to live more in the meditative state, you're literally just shifting your consciousness and your awareness to be in the more expanded state of awareness and higher level or elevated consciousness. And that is the truth of who we are and what we are. So that's when I was writing my book, Meditation for Everyday Living. I polled clients, friends, people that I would meet, what do you want in a meditation book? And all of them said, we want to, you know, 85 to 95% of the people said, we just want to know how to meditate, don't want to know long history about it, just how do you do it? How do you get into that state and feel better? And when I tuned into my guides, it was saying, short, because it's your true nature anyway. It's your true state of being. So you're just teaching people how to attune or align through the breath and focused awareness. And that's why my meditations in the book and CD are between 5 and 13 minutes. So they're attunement, so that we get used to, you know, attuning. We get, maybe we're driving and it's stressful, or somebody cuts us off and we have that tool. Okay, let me tune in. Let me align. Let me have my feelings and my emotions first, because believe you me, sometimes when that's happened, I've been ticked off, you know. Don't always respond with peace and blessing. But if you can do it most of the time, you know, I mean, we still have our human emotions and our negative and positive triggering, right? Oh, it's good to see everyone in the chat. Let me know how the sound is, please. Hi in the chat. Any questions, let me know. Good to connect with all of you. So we're creating, in a way, a new normal. I mean, we needed a reset. In some ways, enough of the collective consciousness, or you want to say unconsciousness, called for this universal reset, or this reset that's happening externally. I just couldn't go on living. And I know some people are kind of ramping up, you know, living kind of quickly again. But the whole idea is to have those pauses and to have those pauses more in the mainstream consciousness, not just a few. You know, if we've got to change the overall system or systems, which is the life system, the ecosystem of how we were living, it was so ramped up. Even what I do and all the meditation, everything, I was like, oh my God, I got to just, you know, I still am going to do a move, but that I was really feeling like, I got to get out of here. I can't keep up energetically. So look and see in your life where you're creating a new foundation or adjusting your foundation, doing a little edit. Do you need a body reset, a renew, a refreshing, a renewal on the body level, the mental, the emotional, spiritual renewal? Do you need to understand your higher self and your soul more? You know, is there healing that needs to take place so that you could go to your own next level of soul unfolding? You know, are you creating from your highest potential in a way that's more about thriving and, of course, coming from abundance, which is enough or of everything, not just money or prosperity, if it's prosperity of spirit as well, not just things and money. But so we're really kind of retailoring our life right now. There's a real individual soul call, soul pull. Maybe Betsy could even talk more about this. She's an amazing astrologer. I think that's Saturn in Aquarius, right? Jupiter in Aquarius, Pluto in Aquarius when it gets there, which I'm so excited for that, because that's when you're going to see some real change. I mean, we've seen change, but you're going to see like, woo, off the chart, like, whoa, let's go. If you look at Neptune and Pisces, that dare to dream. Of course, all these have their lower octave, right? All signs, all aspects of life have a lower, a medium, and a higher octave, you know, or lower expression or manifestation, right? All these octaves and levels. But at the most expanded level, we're being asked to have a new dream or create a dream that's better for ourselves on a soul level and each other. And therefore, the families, societies, communities, the world, and nature to live more. So there's a refashioning right now of the ecosystem. Ooh, joyful happiness. I want to ask about letting go of a thought. Joy, fun, happiness in the chat. Okay, ask about letting go of a thought. Is let me know more in the chat. Is it a reoccurring thought? This is for me where mantra meditation comes in, mantra being mind, or I have a great meditation, transforming fear into creativity, and you create a what-if box, and you put those thoughts away, you know. I seem to have automatic thought. Well, yeah, most people do. What you can learn to do is not focus on the thoughts. You can focus on the space in between the thoughts. It's always good to acknowledge the thoughts, notice that they're there, because if it's something reoccurring, because you don't want to create shadow material. But you can bring a simple technique is notice the thought and then just bring your awareness to your breath, your in-breath and out-breath. I'm doing it right now. I'm looking out at this amazing tree. I'm up in the mountains, this amazing pine tree. So my eyes are open. Yes, Tammy in the chat is saying breath. Yeah, because the breath will take you there. You don't want to fight the thoughts. If you just notice the thought and then notice your in-breath and out-breath and keep doing that and keep bringing your inner gaze, your inner focus to the breath. So do less focus naturally on the thought. The thought will begin to lessen and disappear. Okay? Now, if it's... when I see things I want, even if I have the money, I use breath to redirect. See, what is it? When I see things, okay, so joy, fun, happiness. Okay, I'm going to get to callers. Let's see what's going on. Hey, Bree Beasley, welcome. Welcome, everyone in the chat. So maybe this sounds like a nice little question here. So let's kind of dive into that more. Even if I don't have the money. Yes, I'm feeling that about the breath. Yeah, so the thing is like, again, one of the things you can also ask yourself, is this me or is this someone else? You know, is this my thought or is this someone else's thought? Because a lot of times we have thought, I mean, there's thoughts always in, you know, and we're all interconnected. There's thoughts always roaming around the world, the universe, especially if you're around other people. We pick up other people's thoughts as well as feelings, especially if you're an empath, if you're very open, very porous. But as you kind of connect more, knowing that's not mine, or just, again, acknowledging it, like I was going through something early with someone in a mood, and I just kind of acknowledge that's not about me, that's them. Because remember, the trigger is always within us. So if we're getting triggered, there's something we need to look at. Is my energy pouring out to someone or something else? Is it spilling out to try to control something? Right? That's really what happens, to control the environment. A lot of times to alleviate fear, anxiety, uncertainty, we let our mind roam. You know, we were like little roamers energetically. We send out energetic tentacles to feel things out and try to control it because the ego doesn't want discomfort. So, that can sometimes be what happens with our thoughts. And joy, fun, happiness, even when I do have the money, yes, it's someone else's thought I pick up or agree with. Yeah, and you are an empath. So you just have to acknowledge that. Believe me, we have much more strength and command over our beingness, but it just takes practice. You have to keep practicing it over and over. I mean, in the Buddhist tradition, they say balance is like balancing on the head of a pen, you know, a little pen, a needle, a pin. So a pinhead, right? So to have harmony or balance, there's always a slight movement to the left, to the right, back, above. It's not static. We never stay in one position. And that's also what the breath teaches us, that there's a regulation in the in-breath, in the out-breath, and a thought coming in and a thought going out. What we tend to do is we try to wrestle with it. We attach to it or we try to change it or wrestle with it. If you just leave a thought alone, it's not going to stay. You know, it needs life force animating energy. Same with memories, beliefs. We animate it every time we go. We actually in psychology and also some of the brain science about memory, we only have one memory. We experience something in life, and then when we recall it the first time, that's memory. That's true memory. When we keep rehashing or recalling, that's no longer memory, and it starts to change. We have to literally go and recreate what we originally experienced and remembered. We have to literally recreate it in our mind, reanimate it, because it's gone. So it's very interesting how we do that, you know, and again, it's one of the ways that the ego likes to manage life, you know, and the ups and downs, the outcomes even of life is to rehash or rethink of things like, okay, if I think about this over and over, I'm going to get the solution. I'm going to know what to do. But what happens is we get ensnared by and overanalyzing, right? Paralysis from overanalysis, right? Because the only place of real solution, just like any creativity, any creative idea, any painting, any song that's amazing, that come, you know, any form of expression doesn't come from thinking about it. We think a little and you have to let it go. And then you get that divine download or, you know, something, just that flash of insight, that great idea that you start painting and there it is. You can't think your way through the painting. And we have artists like Tammy in the chat that could tell us that more about that. You don't think the art; it comes, it becomes the sculpture that you sculpt becomes or happens. You can't make it happen through your mind, and that's going to be a big lesson for all of us, no matter where you are, how advanced is living more that way, because there is this becoming. But the higher self, it's already known. So much of it, there is a destiny issue. So much of that becoming, it's just the socialized part of us, the part with the conditioned response patterns. It hasn't been taught how to do that and just let go to that process. And it's very scary. I would say it's like hugging the side of a pool. And then all of a sudden you're pushed into the deep end, right? You're in the middle of the pool and you can't go over to the side, right? Or a guardrail. You can't go over the side and hold on. You have to float. And that's what we're all learning to float better. Yeah. Okay, let's get to some callers here. Hi, welcome to Awakenings. You're on air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
So welcome. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Catherine. I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Catherine. Did you have a question or comment?
I have a question, please. I have a event that I'm doing online. I had done it last year, and now I'm looking for more people to help me and, you know, grow it. And I was wondering if you can tell me if you see the person with the Z that I'm thinking to ask come on board say yes, D or S, any one of these three.
D or S. Okay.
Well, I definitely feel somebody for sure because it shows like you really going into high gear and reaching quite a few people, a lot of people on the internet and even overseas. So I don't know where you're calling from, but so there is, let's see, is it D? Is D someone from the past?
They all kind of are people that I met last year.
That's what, okay. I'm getting a, both are okay or good, but I'm getting a stronger read on S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Is S more available?
He seems pretty approachable, I guess I would say. So maybe, like he posts all the time. So I like
so
friendly.
And maybe that's what you want someone to do. That you know, you might even use both. I have like four people that I work with. Sometimes it's good to break it up, you know. So not one person is doing all of it. So take that into consideration, also. I would say.
Well, thank you.
All right, Catherine, keep us posted on how your projects go. We'll be curious to and care to know. So let us know.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much. And blessed Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Take good care. Bye.
Thank you.
A lot of people with projects right now. Hello. Welcome to Awakening. You're on air. Hello. Okay. You might have gone away from. Let's see the chat.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, I can now.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure it was me. Okay.
Awesome. You're unmuted.
Okay, great. I'm Jody.
Hi, Jody.
Thank you. I have two questions. One you can answer real quick if you want to. I've always been an extremely, and I've been told this even as a child, a very sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
Can you intuit from me whether or not I'm an empath?
Yeah, now, okay, what do you mean? So an empath easily, and we get more of a, being more of an empath as you get more intuitive or more psychic. But an empath usually picks up on people's thoughts and feelings, especially feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, a lot of times may not be able to discern what is their thought or their feeling, especially feelings, but what is their feeling or is what is somebody else's. And you could usually be able to come in even in a room and feel what has gone on, what kind of situation, you know, get energy from the room or from an environment or, you know, place, especially if there's been there's been arguing going on or harsh energy. Or if it's an energy that's very peaceful or uplifting, you would feel things energetically. And I know as I'm also an empath, not just a psychic channel and a medium, but growing up, I could even feel like the energy waves coming into me.
That's exactly it. Like if people are angry, so I have a real difficult time with angry people. That's because I can feel like it's, Michelle, it's like a hate wave. Like literally like a wave of like water.
Yes.
That.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally feel it. Like it's almost physical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You would feel it as an empath. And of course, what kind of locks the empath? I mean, there's studies, you know, like, okay, are you born this way? You know, environments, I guess one way or another, a lot of times harsher environments, you do pick up things, even, you know, people become more of an empath as a protection mechanism, right?
That would make sense.
It sounds like that. You know, some people will say, "Oh, you're just sensitive, or you're overly sensitive." Well, you're an empath; you can feel. Another thing is with animal beings. I can't even watch. In the States, we have this commercial that comes on. As soon as I hear the music, or if I'm watching, which I don't watch very much regular TV, but it's with the animals. And babies. If I feel pain.
Or in a movie or a show,
if they're going to be doing operations, or I just, oops, next channel.
I can't look at their faces. And the same thing with, like, roadkill. I freak out. Like, I remember seeing a German Shepherd when I lived in Los Angeles 30 years ago. I remember seeing this Shepherd. I still remember seeing it. It freaked me out. Like, any roadkill, I can't look at it.
That's it. You feel the pain. You feel the pain.
It's a good segue, because this is the real reason I'm calling. The real reason I'm calling is I'm standing next to my kitty. Okay, this is my other, we have two cats. We just had a pupper that passed 3 months ago. Miss him dearly. But this little girl, she's peeing on stuff. And I know I brought her into the vet, and, you know, try to collect pee from a cat. I mean, seriously, just to know if it's her kidneys or something. But can you tell, because I'm standing right next to her, can you tell what's up with her?
Let me see. And tell me her name.
She's Ginger, but we call her Kitty. Honestly, she's probably got identity issues.
Okay.
And the other cat that we have here is Tally. And she's older.
Tally. Okay. Is she new? And what's your first name?
I'm Jody.
Jody. That's right. Okay, Jody. Okay. Okay. Is she new?
She's new. Tally is new. Well, she was my cat, and then my ex had her, and then I finally got her back a year ago.
That's why.
I got her back a year ago.
Because I'm seeing there's something with a new cat. So she's feeling a bit displaced, or like she doesn't have a space, her own space, or a special place, a special space. I feel one of them, is one of them light colored?
Yes. Yes.
Who's that one? The light. Yeah. Okay. So Tally is very territorial.
Oh.
And the other little one, Ginger. Now, see, this is interesting. Cats don't do territory like dogs. They do it very telepathically. I'm going to tell you, everyone, a quick story. I had a friend of mine. Actually, something got stolen from her. It was like a little, I don't know, you go to Burning Man with it. It's like a little trike with lights on it. And I saw her. I saw who stole it. I saw her getting it back, which that happened. She got it back. And I said, probably within 2-3 weeks. Well, within 2 weeks, she got it back. So her cat went missing. And she put pictures up, and she was really thought it's gone. I said, no, the cat's going to come back. And I said, but there's something about territory. There's another cat that's vibing your cat out of the way. And she's like, no, that she roams around. That can't be. I said, I'm telling you. And I said, and I see the cat. It's a black cat. And she's like, oh, the only other black cat is 3 doors down. Well, here's the deal. Her cat used to spend a lot of time, whatever, two doors down. I guess it's not 3 doors, 2 doors down at this man's house. But the man got a new cat. So one day I'm driving by, and I see this black cat out and just like glaring. And I thought, that's the cat I saw in my vision, was just like looking down the street, right? In the front of the driveway. So I told her that. And she's like, oh my God, my neighbor got the new cat. 3 or 4 days later, her cat did finally come back. And I said, it got pushed out. And so I gave her a little ritual to do with light so that the cat would feel. So, yeah, cats, you know, are very, I mean, all animal beings are very energetic and are telepathic. But cats, before they swipe, they don't even have to. They're sending out the vibe of get away, move over. So I feel your cat has a bit of anxiety. There's some anxiety that's going on. So that's what it is. So what you can do is just create a space for her, put a little pillow or something or a bed, And then say, and just say very firmly, this is your space. And then look at the other cat and go, this is her space. Or you can put your hand out like a stop sign. Or if the cat comes around or you notice the older cat is looking at the cat, say, you know, we all live here together. Oh, they'll understand. Believe me, they will understand. Animal beings, just they get it. They read our pictures. But you've got to intervene, and that will stop the anxiety is what I'm hearing.
Oh,
all right, Jody, keep us posted. I'm going to go to the next caller. Keep us posted. All right.
Thank
great
you
to
so
connect.
Much.
Okay.
You're so welcome. Yeah, cats are so like that. I had that even with Yoshi. Those of you that have known me a long time, you've seen all the cute pictures of Yoshi. She was so loving, such an advanced being, very high-level consciousness, so loving. When I first got her, because Pekingese guard the emperor and empress, right? We also had a cat named Cleo. And one night I'm getting in bed and starting to read, and Yoshi had her bed by mine, and then Cleo had her bed at the foot of our bed. And Cleo had been in the other room and came in through the bedroom, and Yoshi hopped out of her bed and went in front of the doorway on her little haunches and stood there and blocked the doorway. And Cleo just stopped, and I looked over. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, we all are equal here. We all get along. We're all equal here. Everyone has their space separately, and we have our space together. And I looked at Yosh, and I said, come on. And she looked at me. She went over to her little dog bed and sat down. Cleo came in, hopped on her, at the end of the bed, the little bench that was there with her bed, and that was it. They got along amazingly. They slept together, played together. But she was just doing her job. And then I told her, I said, I know you're doing your job. I know, you know, you're protecting, but we're going to do it differently because we, you know, there's no hierarchy here. We're all one. We're all together. We're all equal. And that was it. So, but I wish I'd taken a video of that because, my God, it was priceless. This little Pekingese just jumps out of the bed, walks over, and then just did this thing. And she literally leaned forward on her haunches like, you can't come in here. And Cleo just stopped and looked and just stared. And I went, oh, my God. Okay. Mama Bear intervening. All righty, let's see. We've got, hi, welcome to Awakenings, you're on air.
Hi, I wanted to, I don't know if this is an appropriate question to ask, but it's about detachment. I think for like the last 2 or 3 years, I've been on a constant, almost involuntary withdrawal from everyone and everything, mostly because of the reactions that I've been experiencing dealing with people. I feel like no matter what I do or how I try to interact, I'm either sensing tension or sensing some kind of resistance or sensing that someone that people are trying to pull things from me that I'm either unable to give or not capable of giving at that time. And I know it sounds crazy, but the truth of the matter is that when it happens, I'm always faced with the choice of either being really, really honest with what I'm sensing from them or keeping my mouth shut about it, because I find that I'm usually right with what I'm sensing from them. And it's usually something that means they will profit from it, but I will wind up even more drained from it. Does that make any sense at all? And so I find myself more or less avoiding people. And it just, I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, I'm in a position where I can actually do that without it hurting me financially. But at the same time, it is in fact hurting me. Yeah. I've gotten into a mode now where I'm meditating daily. And I mean, I can sit and I can meditate and stay in silence for up to 2 and 3 hours. And wake up, and get up from it refreshed. I'm not tired. I'm not anything, but it's like all about shutting out from.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Just want your first name and then what is your actual question? What's your first name?
My name's Maya. And the question is this something that happens? Is it temporary? I don't know if it's, I don't feel depressed. I just feel like there's much coming at me.
Yeah, we're meant to connect with people, to socialize to some degree, some people less, some people more. It does sound like for you, like it's not just meditation unless you're doing a contemplation meditation where you're looking at what you're feeling, like a mindfulness meditation, looking at what you're feeling or what you're going through, and then seeing where is the origin of that in your own path or childhood or family of origin, what is going on and what are you interpreting as happening with these people that you're connecting with, right?
Because right.
We're always, and so some of it can be, which on my website, by the way, soulplayground.life, you can, there's some, you can copy and paste this projection perception and what to do with that. Because it sounds like there's some projection, there's some enmeshment of things that you have experienced in your path by what you have either projected or perceived. It's a, you could have perceived something in the past in past situations. That was perceived accurately or very truthfully, you know, but there could have been not great consequences, whether externally or in your inner world with how you felt. So it sounds like there's some inner work that needs for you to go to your next level and figure out what that is for you through your higher self and your soul's unfolding. There is some inner work. Especially as we go into this new paradigm, because there is so much going to much more based on interconnectedness, interdependence. So maybe that's even why this is coming up for you now, because we all
I was going to say, well, I know my birthday is in about a week and a half. I'm like February 1st, and between that, I've been doing things like chakra cleansing and just trying to find those blockages, those areas that need to be addressed.
Well, we can't do it on our own. Yeah, I would say it's going to be more mental, emotional. It's going to be more on the emotional level, and then some beliefs or ideas are holding it in place, you know, and vice versa. Some emotions and feelings are holding the beliefs and ideas in place. There's so much that we have from our past programming, like conditioned response patterns. I mean, I even have it. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly looking and working through things. I just tend to catch it more quickly or maybe a day or two, like stewing something, but I'll process it. Because we are all interconnected and we are picking things up from other people. We have to just at some point have the consciousness to be able to decide what do I do with this information? Because that's what it is. Energy is information, you know, and we are, Aquarius is the age of information, information. So we have to decide what do we let come into form? What do we let, that's being of higher consciousness, right? What do I let come in? If I see it in, do I let it stay? You know, so I feel for you, that would be even some inner child work so that part can feel safe. Maybe it's when you connect with certain people that you then take a break and meditate and see how you feel and even ask yourself, like I said earlier with that one guest, is this their energy or mine? Or why do I feel I need to do something with this energy or tell them something? Or can I just let it be? Can I just let it float past me? You know, you don't have to take everything on, right?
Right. But I think that's what I would like to do.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, you got Saturn is just newly in Aquarius, Saturn, Jupiter is there, Pluto will be there in a few years. So that you're going to be going through some kind of redirection of energy, of your foundation, of how you navigate through life. And depending, you know, what aspects, depending on what you have in the sign of Aquarius other than your sun. But sun is the sense of self. It's, it's identity. So there is some overhauling. So I feel you can do it. Just there's plenty of tools online. I have tools on my website. You can download for free, copy and paste. And just get in there so that you're like, okay, I can feel all this and be in all this and see all this, but I don't have to respond all the time. I don't have to be in this role of having to energetically respond or tell someone something or help them or teach them or guide them. You can just let it go. You know, you can just, oh, I'm very aware. I saw that. Okay, good. And move on.
Yeah.
I think you'll move through it. I really do. I really do, Maya. All right, keep us posted. Take good care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. And we are going to be diving in deeper into detachment with our guest coming on in a few minutes. So, I think we have time for one more caller, and then we will get to our guest. Hello, welcome to Awakenings. You're on air.
Hi, Michelle. It's Dominique. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's your first name?
Dominique.
Dominique. Hi, Dominique. What's your question?
Hi, Michelle. I actually have a lot going on right now, so I don't have a specific question, but I was just wondering if my guides or my higher self had anything, any message for me.
Ooh.
My birthday is
moving forward. No, I don't even need that. The thing is, move forward on what you most enjoy, what brings joy to you, and most what you want to do. So I do feel that you're going to be doing a little bit of restructuring of your to-do list, your routine, your goals, your dream, you know, what you want to draw in or manifest. But it's going to be, and I'm hearing right away, from Spirit is saying, don't worry, you are going to do it all. You're going to get it. Even if you focus on one or two, mostly the others aren't falling by the wayside, but you are coming in kind of into a choice point just because the universe is really going to be helping you. So allow that to happen. It doesn't mean, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to do this, or this isn't going to get done, or this isn't going to happen. No, it is. There's just the idea of time and timing is coming in. In a way, it's like, you know, detachment from outcomes or detachment about how, how certain things unfold, is part of what we're going to be talking about with our guests. So, all right, Dominique, hang on, hang in there. We got a guest coming on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, all right. Good to connect with you.
You too. Thank you, Michelle.
You're so welcome. All right, it's time for our Awakening Dialogue. Today we have Betsy, known as Fearless Intuition on YouTube, where she offers monthly astrology and tarot readings for each zodiac sign. Betsy is a healer. She also very adept at tarot and really, really adept also at astrology. So really feel blessed to have her on the program today. Hi, Betsy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to connect with you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually having a very interesting day where I've had to funny that we're having this conversation today because I've had to detach from a couple things already.
Me too.
But isn't that the way that it always goes, right? Like,
you're learning or talking about. I love your offerings too. I want to make sure everybody gets, because I know you're doing something on manifestation also. So I want to make sure people know about that. Manifesting Your Life 101, January 30th, and Mastering Detachment, Become the Artist of Letting Go, and that's in February. So just for people, because a lot – oh, thank you, Tammy, for putting it in the chat. Okay, great. That was my question. You guys are ahead of me in the chat. So sometimes people, they're listening, right? They're ahead of me. People are listening, and then they're like, want to check people out. So you guys can go to fearlessintuition.net.
those of you that want to get more of a vibe of Betsy and what she does while we're talking, so you can see her and hear her and see what she has to offer. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So there seems to be a lot up about detachment right now.
It really is. I think that we're actually, we're in such a crazy, I mean, obviously it's a crazy time in all of our lives that we chose to go through all of this together. And I think now more than ever, it's really important to allow ourselves to take a step back from everything that's happening and look at it as if it is separate from us, which is really what detachment is when we're not attached to everything that's going on the outside of us, and we're really centered and focused on who we are and what we're on and the journey that we're going and the path that we're going. It's more peaceful. There's so much more peace when you allow yourself. It's really about giving yourself permission to not get all riled up when everything else is getting all riled up. Like, I mean, literally perfect example, within like 6 minutes from now, Mars is going to be exact conjunct Uranus. Right. Yeah. And it's like literally 6 minutes from now, that's going to be happening. But we've been feeling that electricity build up for days. And everybody was like, you know, I know all of the astrologers that I talked to, we were all just sort of watching the inauguration this morning, just waiting for what's going to happen, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think the joke's going to be that nothing is really going to happen. We're all just progressing. Like, this is about progression and moving forward. And so when we look at how 2020, like 2020 was really, really good to me, but it wasn't without the bumps in the road. And when I looked at how 2020 gifted and blessed me, and I looked at the path that I went on and how I was able to say, well, this perception that I have of this situation over here is only my perception. And that other person that's in the same conversation or the same situation as me, they have a completely different perception. So, you know, when we realize that every single person's perception is different than ours, every single person, nobody is going to look at you in the same way as the other person. And you're not going to look at Joe over here in the same way that you look at Sandy over here. And the reason why is because we only give pieces of ourselves in certain situations and certain places and certain people in our lives. Nobody actually sees the, sees the whole of us unless we allow it. So when we are looking at detaching ourselves from things, we have to really remember that no matter what the perception that somebody has of you, your perception of yourself is really what matters. And I think that we've lost that. I think we've lost that oneness with self. And I feel like it's sort of starting to come back because we can't be attached to what's happening. We have to understand that no matter what happens, we're still moving. We're still moving forward no matter what happens.
I think that's so important that you're sharing about this and your perception on it, because I know I've seen a lot of people, and I've heard, you know, clients, friends that have done really well. I've done really well. I mean, I feel like the clarion soul call. It's like, oh, my God, create, work differently. Oh, my God. It's like, I get to do this now and do that. And but I know some people have told me I feel guilty because I'm doing well, or they haven't been doing well. Like you said, it was hard. There was a lot of challenges, but they're overcoming and they're starting to feel more inspired. And what is it? There seems to be this pull to try to get us into this like mainstream construct or the externals of what's happening. Like, you need to feel bad, but then some people are saying, but I feel really good. I feel better. I'm healing. Yeah. I really know myself. You know, so a lot of people are kind of torn, you know?
Right. Yes. And that's absolutely true. And I've checked myself throughout 2020 as well to make sure that I'm not rubbing, quote unquote, rubbing things into anybody's faces. But at the same time, the joy that I create in my own life has absolutely nothing to do with what's happening in somebody else's life. Like, my joy is not a reflection of who you are. My joy is a reflection of who I am. And so if I choose to have joy in my life, no matter what's going on outside of me, that doesn't necessarily mean that I think that you deserve less joy. But instead, I would rather share my perception with you and my perspective with you so you can see how you can have joy. Because you don't have to be miserable. Mm. That's the thing. I grew up in survival mode. Like, literally, I tell everybody this. From the day that I was born, I was trying to survive my life because my brother decided to throw a golf ball at my head when I was I was literally, like, fighting for my life from the very, very beginning. So I tell everybody that story. But, no, I lived in survival mode, and I grew up in, you know, and I think that there's a huge percentage of this world that this happens to in humans, just kind of the human journey, is we grow up in a lack mentality. We're told that, and it's very fear-based. It's like, if you go outside of the box, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, and that starts off with the caveman days, you know? If you've ever seen the movie Croods, where the dad is constantly like, you know, when it's dark, everybody has to get into the cave and be protected. And so it starts at a very young age where we learn what lack means. And so I never really dreamt of a big life. I always felt like I was supposed to be doing something pretty big in life, but I never dreamt of it. And I feel like if somebody would have looked at me and been like, wow, you know, you have such a great personality and you really put yourself out there and you're just stunning and like all of the good things about who I was, then maybe I would have started a little bit early in putting myself in the spotlight. But it took 36 years before I was even able to do it. So I think that especially in 2020, you know, we sort of put our faith and trust in a system that kind of proves that we shouldn't be putting our faith and trust in that system, because my belief system is that the third dimensional matrix, it's all an illusion. We live in a hologram every day. And so because we live in a hologram, I get to choose the path that I'm on, but not everybody necessarily understands that. So, I don't allow myself to feel guilty for getting everything I want because I worked hard for it. And I know that if you choose and allow yourself and give yourself permission to come out of a lack mentality, you too can live in joy and abundance and manifest all of your desires. For sure.
Yeah. Do you think that we're going to have this? We have this obviously multidimensional, multi-layered, but we even have these multi-realities that people are living. And it seems we're being called to, like, you really have to choose one, which to me it comes from within because it's almost no choice. But do you think we're going to see more of this? Like people choosing?
Yeah.
You do.
I do. And I feel like with, you know, we had the Jupiter square Uranus last week, and we have the Mars conjoining Uranus. I mean, Uranus is the great awakening. He's, you know, Saturn will be squaring Uranus as well in February. And we can look at that as if they're really hard aspects and they're big blockages and there's going to be so much restriction and this and that and, you know, all of the third dimensional matrix things that could actually happen. Or we could look at it and say, man, think about all the people that are going to wake up because they're at rock bottom and they don't have anywhere to go. And that's unfortunate, but I mean, that's what happened to me. You know what I mean? It's like some people get a really soft awakening and then some people live in 2020 and 2021 and then they realize that the awakening's not so soft. but I do think that a lot of people... Yes, with all of this Aquarius energy that's happening, there's definitely a shift in humanity. And I think that we're all sort of, like, when I say we, I mean the spiritual community, whatever that means, and the, you know, the matrix, whatever that means. I feel like we're all sort of just tired of being puppets. And we're all sort of tired of being told how to feel and what to do and where to go and so I think that's going to be the biggest change and the biggest shift is people are just going to be tired of waiting for the government or waiting for somebody to show up for them and provide, and they'll start realizing that they can do it for themselves. I would like to see more like ecosystem communities, like what the Native Americans used to do, you know, like the bartering systems. Like I would love to see that kind of thing happen. And I think we're on our way to it, but it's not going to be an easy road to get there. There are a lot of people that need to feel pain first. And unfortunately, sometimes that's the best way. And I mean, I have my own theories on why we have to feel pain and have hard lessons in life. I think that, you know, if the lessons weren't hard, how would we learn them? We would just keep going on the hamster wheel over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. A little pain does wonders to move you off.
And that's the thing is sometimes it doesn't. Some people will just keep going through the pain over and over and over again.
I know.
I'm like, wow.
I saw that years ago. I had a friend of mine, and he actually told me, because I said, oh, it's so painful, because he was waking up, he was doing well, and then he went back. And I said, that's the worst.
Yes.
I go, ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
And he said, oh, don't worry, Michelle. I know millions of people live this way, and I'm going to, too. And I went, oh, my God. Okay. And it's like, okay, go ahead. You can.
Yeah.
Right? I think, too, I keep
sharing
with
people. Yeah, I don't know that I
could
go back.
I couldn't. I'm just not in my constitution. It's too painful. I just couldn't. I'm like, let's go all the way through. I'm like, I'm the one on the hike.
Absolutely.
It's like, it's painful. I'm like, well, even if we turn around now, it's the same amount of miles. So let's just continue. You know, let's just go.
Exactly.
But I'm always sharing with people, and I want to get your take on this, is because I always say, like, okay, look, there's no fairy godmother with a magic wand or click your shoes twice and we're there. I mean, the new paradigm is created by all of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to just happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you think is that part of what's happening, is that we're actually being scooted or pushed or pulled to start creating and living in this way?
I call it being groomed. I use the word groomed. I feel like the universe grooms us for certain stages and certain levels in our lives. And I think that if we were all to wake up all at once, that would be the kind of energy close to an atom bomb. I don't think that would be very, you know, how you get into the room with people who have really high vibrations and you're like, wow, the energy of it all. I feel like if the whole world woke up all at once, it would just be a big explosion. So, and it's so funny because when I remind people, you know, when we talk about the universe and we talk about souls and all of that, I remind people, you are the universe. You are an intricate part of it. You're not separate from something that's happening out, you know, everything that's going on in this world. You wrote your story to come into this and you're part of it all. And so for you to attach yourself to certain expectations or certain monetary or material items, or, you know, I mean, I'm even really good at like just throwing things away. Like, I haven't touched that in a year. Why do I need it? Kind of thing. Like, even like that's even a beginning step to detaching from things. But yeah, as we move into this new paradigm, I feel like everybody's being groomed at their own pace. And I think that in each level that we take and each step and each path, you know, it's sort of like an intertwined, you know, we all have our specific gifts and we all have our things that we're doing to help, you know, push the new earth forward. Because that's what I really feel like we're in. We're really in the new earth. It's just about getting everybody else on board.
Yeah. We're already doing it, right? Most of us, we're already doing it, which is so interesting.
Yeah,
surreal.
I think it is. And sometimes I look at my life and I look at the things that I do on a regular basis and I wonder how much of an impact I have, and obviously come out of the woodwork and show me what an impact I have. But it's really amazing to be, you know, like, I don't ask myself why I chose this part of the story anymore. I used to, like, why would I choose to live in a time like this? That's really silly of me. But I know it's to help other people and guide them through the process and to not attach themselves to how it's going to turn out. Because really nobody actually knows. I don't care how psychic we want to be. I may see an outcome, but you may drop a spoon on the floor and that 30 seconds changes everything. That trajectory course is done. We got to go
another
direction.
I think that's a really important point, is that even what seems to be the harshest, it can be mitigated, it can be changed, it can be lessened. There can be changes just by, we don't know how many, whatever that critical mass and tipping point is, or that, like you said, the spoon, that one person that all of a sudden wakes up, maybe there was 333 and the 334 changes everything or lightens the load or it goes in a new direction. So I agree. It's focusing on end game. We have some ideas of what's happening, and I mean, you can see through prophecy, you can see through astrology, but we really don't know how in depth or how extreme or time, you know, the exact timing.
Oh, right. And I really say all, you know, the easiest way for you to detach from an outcome is to constantly reset your energy to the moment that you're in, the present moment. This now state is where everybody should be going from. But so many people are so closely attached to their past and all the trauma and all of the wounding and all of the, you know, painful experiences that we've been through, that there's a fear to make a choice to move forward. So I say, leave all of that in the past and just start with where you are today. Start with where you are right now. You know, that relationship doesn't exist anymore, but you do. And that period in your life doesn't exist anymore, but you do. And you overcame it and you got to where you are today. So take the strength of it and thank that situation or that person or that relationship for being a part of your healing journey, and leave it where it belongs in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then move forward from where you are right here. And I think that if more people did that, there would be less of a painful realization when they wake up in the morning. And, you know, I mean, I've had people come to me and they're like, Bessie, I just wake up and I don't like myself. I don't like my life. I don't like myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, then why are you being so hard on yourself? Why do you feel like you have to be doing something differently? Why can't you just take where you are right now and create a different narrative instead of being miserable? Maybe you're just learning something. Maybe you're just needing to take a different step in another direction. Like, it doesn't have to be one of those, you know, I feel like people make life too hard for themselves sometimes. And they think that, and the reason why they do that is because they have so many expectations of themselves based on what the world told them to have expectations of. Mm-hmm. Have a job.
Boy, that's so
married.
True.
And I lived that life. I lived that life twice. I was a wife. I have three beautiful boys. I was a wife times two. And I lived that life. And I did what I was supposed to do. And I went to church on Sundays. And I had the job where I worked 60 hours a week. And I was a, you know, badass in telecom. And, like, I did all the things. And I wasn't I wasn't happy. I loved my family, but I wasn't happy. My soul wasn't happy. And I think that if we gave ourselves permission to choose differently for ourselves, instead of saying, I need to be attached to what the world tells me I need to be attached to. I need to have the funds and have the job and have the car and have the house and have, you know, you can have all of that and not be attached to any of it, none of it.
Right.
And I think that people, that's the concept. That's the concept that I'm trying to teach people, is that you can have that desired life and all of those beautiful things that you want, but it doesn't start on the outside. It starts with you being joyful and happy on the inside. You can, in fact, your life, I mean, I do think that your life would have to change in some ways, but there are some things that you don't actually have to change about your life to find joy. I think simply just choosing to wake up and find joy for yourself is a better way to look at a day, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a little over a delay here. Would you consider your first awakening, and then how did you awaken, or what would get to your path where you are now? I mean,
the story.
A little story, please.
It's fine. Story time. I love story time. I started waking up in 2016. It took me almost my whole life, but I think that I was always aware that there was always something bigger than me out there. I was always aware of that. My parents never took me to church or anything. when I was growing up, but I insisted on going with my grandmother to church. And so I became very big in Christianity and the Christian church. And I even taught high school ministry to, you know, when my boys were babies, my two older boys were babies. And I mean, I was very much into the church, the Young Life stuff too. So I always knew there was something bigger than me, but 2016, I left my second husband because I was not happy anymore in the relationship and other things too, we won't get into. And then, I met someone almost immediately after I left him and fell madly, madly in love. But I was so wounded still mm-hmm. from the divorce, and I was going through this really big transition in my life and really big change in my life that I attached myself to a person who could not commit to me. He could not attach himself back to me, of course. And I mean, I shouldn't have attached myself to him anyways, and I should never have asked him to attach himself to me, but my heart was broken. It was very traumatic for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day that my heart chakra opened up because I literally felt like I was dying inside at one point, and my heart just burst open. And that was the moment. That was the catalyst. That was that moment there was no return after that. And I began to go through the dark night of the soul for a few months, and that was kind of painful. And then all my gifts started showing up, and I myself visited a psychic back then and said, "What is wrong with me? Because I'm hearing things." And she read my cards and she said, "This is what you should be doing. You need to be communicating with spirit through this so you don't have all these messages coming at you all day long." So picked up a deck of cards and I taught myself, and the rest is fearless intuition history.
Well, you had to be fearless to just go ahead and do it, you know, to step out that way.
Yeah. And I tell everybody, like, that first video that I put up on YouTube, because that's how it all started, is I started putting videos up on YouTube in 2017. And that first video, I think I had four different takes, like four different videos before I was finally like, okay, stop doing this to yourself, Betsy. And I just pressed publish, you know, and it was, and I like cried, I think. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely the path that I was being told to go on, was to be fearless, and that everything, as long as I did everything in fear, without fear, then it was all going to just fall into place for me. And it really, truly did. And I didn't really feel like I had a choice in the direction I would be going in. I feel like my higher self was just like, no, we've been waiting for too long anyways. It's time to just do this now. And I just sort of surrendered. Big thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, surrendering is a big thing. Yeah.
Wow.
I think if more people felt safe enough within themselves to surrender, and that's really it, like the trust process, you have to learn how to trust yourself. How many times have you made choices in your life that turned out to be painful? And, you know, it's hard to trust yourself after making those choices.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, what is a good way to start? I mean, for our listeners to start, because I feel like, especially now, so many people are at a similar point where they're either leaving something, someone, or bridging to something new, or just trying something on their side. They're really hearing that message intuitively, or they've gone to a reader, they listen to this podcast or other videos. And what do you think is helpful for people that are saying, I want to go in this direction, I'm hearing a different message from my soul and my higher self?
I think that the biggest thing to remember when you are just starting out on your journey is to remain patient with yourself and to be really big on the forgiving yourself. You know, it's so funny because it's hard to forgive other people, but it's easier to forgive other people than it is to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
So
that's
when,
so true.
You know, and reminding yourself on this journey that it is your journey. Yes, you're going to want to seek answers. Yes, you're going to want to seek advice. Yes, you're going to want to seek all the things, But when it comes down to it, all of those people giving you advice and all of those people giving you directions to go in, they're not living your life every single day. So you're, like I said, the perception, you're the only person that knows the whole of you, the oneness of you. Nobody else does. And if anybody says to me, oh, this person knows me better than myself, I'm going to look at them and be like, oh, you're in trouble, girl, or you're in trouble, boy. You know, nobody should ever know more about you than you do about yourself, ever. And I think that we give our power away too much to situations. So if you're ready to start your life, or you're ready to go in a new direction, reminding yourself that detaching from situations and people, that doesn't mean that you numb yourself. That doesn't mean that you don't have emotions. Emotions are one of the biggest transmuters of energy that we as humans have. Like, I will cry in a grocery store line. You can't stop me from crying these days, because if I got to transmute an emotion, I'm going to. But we've been told that that's weak. We've been told that having emotions and transmuting those emotions is a weakness. So I remind everybody that it's okay to cry. It's okay to scream. It's okay to, you know, yell into a pillow when you're frustrated. Don't detach from the emotions, but you detach from the reaction. So remembering to not project onto people. And if you do project onto somebody, project how you're feeling, you forgive yourself for doing that, because you weren't at your best in that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And making difficult choices is a part of the journey. And reminding yourself that any choice that you decide to make, it's still going to lead you in the same direction that you're supposed to be going in. It just might be a little bit like of a detour every once in a while. You know, sometimes we want to take a little easier of a path. It just takes longer to get there. Or some of us will, like me, will just jump right into that really rough, rocky path and have like the straight direction to wherever I need to go. Like, give me the difficult one, I'll do it.
You'll jump through.
But right. And reminding yourself that detachment is about recognizing situations, recognizing your reactions to situations, and choosing, again, it's about a choice, giving yourself permission to cultivate that inner peace instead of being overpowered, instead of giving your power away to those situations. So like, for example, if you're in an argument with somebody or if somebody decides they want to start an argument with you, maybe you didn't start the argument or you said something and it triggered them. First of all, reminding yourself that when you trigger other people, that's their wound. That is, you didn't create that wound within them. And if they project onto you and they get angry with you, you can look at them and you can say, this seems like it's a you problem and not a me problem. I'm just trying to have a conversation and you're projecting onto me. And allowing yourself to have a deliberate intention to choose yourself over another person's reaction. Always choose yourself first. And that sounds very selfish. And I think that we need to get a little bit more selfish, obviously not in the, everything is mine and not, I'm not taking care of anybody else, not that way. But caring for ourselves has become something that is very foreign. The fact that I told somebody I was taking a nap at 1 o'clock in the afternoon one day, and they were like, that sounds luxurious. And I'm like, well, I surround myself in the luxury that I create for myself. So of course it is. But
Betsy, what do you mean choose yourself first? When you say choose yourself first in those kinds of situations, could you give us an example?
Right.
Yeah.
So if we go into that same argument, say that I'm having a disagreement with somebody because they saw something that I put up on Twitter and for some reason they feel like it was about them, even though it wasn't, you know, like how people decide that they're tweeting, subtweeting people, like it's not even about you kind of thing. But say somebody comes to me and they feel like I hurt their feelings in a tweet that I said, I'm not going to take that tweet down just because somebody got triggered and they feel like their wounds have been revealed. What I'll do is I'll listen to what they have to say. And if they decide that they're going to project their anger onto me and they want to make the drama out of it and they want to tell me all of the horrible ways that I have ruined their life, I'm going to look at them and say, and like I said, this sounds like this is a you problem and not a me problem. I'm going to choose to remove myself from this situation. And if you want to talk about it later when you calm down a little bit, then we can do that. And so stopping yourself before reacting, before getting angry, is choosing yourself. I always ask myself in every situation that looks like it's going to be a conflict, is this worth disturbing my peace?
Ooh, I like
every
that.
Every time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
is
that.
Is this worth disturbing my peace? And if and honestly, Michelle, 90% of the time, it is not worth disturbing my peace.
Yeah.
And that's been something that I've held for the last couple of years, for sure. Because it's not easy being in this. It's not easy being out here changing minds every day. You know.
I know. Oh, yeah. Boom. Dee Dee in the chat says, boom, on this. Yeah, is this worth disturbing my peace? Yeah, that's a good pause point. Because you're right. A lot of times it's not. And it could even be just what's deflamed or whatever. You know, it could be.
Yeah.
Decharge.
I even do it with my children. Yeah, my 7-year-old, he's quite the character, and he likes to be big. He's got big emotions a lot, and he's a little starseed for sure, but when he's not happy, I will look at him and I'll say, all right, honey, you don't have to be happy about this situation, but I'm not changing my answer. And if you want to talk, I'll be in the other room because I'm not going to sit here and listen to you doing this. Like, I'll even do it with my kids. Yeah. Because we have to understand that we're all in a part of a different, you know, we all chose a different story. My journey is separate than my children's journey, even though I helped create them. They are not mine.
Yeah.
They're their own. They're their own sovereign beings, just as I am my own sovereign being. So I'm not going to try to force myself onto them, and they don't get to try to force their emotions onto me either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. That's so empowering. Yeah. Because then each person's allowed to have their story, but you don't have to feed into it. You don't have to get in and be a character, you know, take a different role. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so empowering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with children, because then they learn right away. Then that nips the manipulation learning in the bud. You know, it's like, boom. Nope.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I walk away from things more often than I used to. And I don't walk away from them with the attitude of, oh, I'm so much better than you. I don't need to sit in this. I walk away and I think if they really want to make this right, they'll come back. They'll come to me and we'll sit down and we'll have an adult conversation instead of screaming at each other and trying to get something accomplished when there's chaos and frustration and anger. Like, you can't get anything accomplished when people are angry. And that was a perfect example of 2020. People got very angry, rightly so. And people needed to be angry to show that they needed to change, some things needed to change. But at the same time, how far does our anger really need to go? You know, I think that we need to ask ourselves that quite often. So
that's a good question. Something you also talk about, which I'm curious to get your take on this and how you see it. So is that detachment and not being, you know, attached to outcomes or expectations is part of manifesting, or is actually, you say, it's even a key component to manifesting.
Yes.
Is to not be attached to the outcome or that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we're manifesting our life, not attaching yourself. So like if I currently right now, I am manifesting a much bigger life than what I'm in right now. But when I was manifesting the life that I'm in right now, I really wanted just a safe place, a soft space to land. And I didn't have a lot of details and I didn't have a lot of specifics. I just said, you know, I just want a place where me and my children can, you know, I was manifesting a house and I was manifesting, you know, just my life. And so I didn't put a lot of details into it. I would basically in meditation, which is prayer for a lot of people, But in meditation, I would just think of myself being really, really happy inside of a new house and what that might look like and what that kind of joy might look like. And I didn't really allow myself to say the house needs to be this big. It needs to have this many bedrooms. It needs to have this many bathrooms. It has to be this color. It has to be this, 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 and this, and this. I've always said I wanted a house with a red door. Got a house with a red door. I've always said I wanted a house with a really nice bathtub. Wow. Got a house with a really nice bathtub. So I did manifest details that I've wanted, but I didn't make it so specific that I didn't leave room for the universe to work. And I think that's what detachment really is. Mm-hmm. When we master detachment, we're giving the universe the go-ahead to be like, give me more than I asked for. You know, we limit ourselves. We, as humans, we limit ourselves so much when we're manifesting. And I was given way more than I asked for in 2020, like everything I could have asked for. And now I just get to expand upon it and make it bigger and better from here. And I think that that's really the key, is remembering that you are not limited in your desires, and your expectation of what your life should look like probably looks completely different than it did last year. And if you say to yourself, well, my life's not going to look good because of this, 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 and this, then your life isn't going to look good. But if you say, I don't know what my life is supposed to look like, I'm really just going to, you know, feel blessed in this moment. I'm not going to attach myself to what it's going to look like tomorrow. And I'm going to get on with my life and do the things I'm supposed to do and focus on my journey and focus on my path and raise my vibration. And so, yeah, detachment is definitely a key component to manifesting, for sure. Probably the most important.
And it sounds like, by what you're saying too, this being in the moment and doing what you're called to do, your purpose, your joy, whatever, that automatically starts raising your vibration and harnesses this universal energy. You think that's a good way for people to focus right now? It's rather than overly focusing on the externals.
Oh, absolutely. I think finding your center, which to me is that heart chakra center, that heart space. And a lot of people, like, I teach mindfulness meditation because I was the overthinker. People will tell me, well, I can't meditate. That's because my mind races. I'm always thinking. And I'm like, your mind isn't supposed to stop working when you're in meditation. In fact, it's a good thing that it's working while you're in meditation, because it's giving you all the things that you're supposed to be doing outside of meditation so you can take accountability. Like, it has to happen. But allowing ourselves to reset to this present moment and being mindful of all of the steps that we're taking, it really doesn't matter what the cosmos are doing. It really doesn't matter what the matrix is doing. It really doesn't matter what's happening outside your front door, what's really happening in your heart. And if your heart is shining and you're loving yourself, then what could go wrong? How's that bad? How is that a good thing?
Yeah. Really good point. Wow. All right, Betsy, we're winding out of time here. Linear time.
Okay.
So, I just want to... I'm so glad you were able to come on the program.
Me too. This was wonderful.
Yeah, it's been fun. And I've loved your videos, by the way, because I also have Libra rising. I have to look at... Yours has been... So, you know...
I'm a Libra rising. Yes.
I know. You talked about it. I'm like, oh, God, she understands. Oh, my God.
Yes, I do. I do.
Saturn been in the, Woo, so glad.
That fourth house business, man. I still have a little bit of Saturn and Jupiter in my fourth house, just for a little bit longer, because I have Aquarius there, too. So.
A little bit, too. But it was a lot better. Lots better.
Yeah.
So grateful that it's
so much.
Scooting out.
For sure.
So let people know again what you have coming up and the best way to connect with you. Because I know you have two workshops. The best way for people to connect with you if they're interested in doing your workshops that are coming up.
Sure. I actually have three workshops coming up. I only gave you two of them, but I'll mention the third one briefly as well. But I have the Manifesting 101 workshop on I believe it's Sunday, January 30th. Is that a Sunday? My days are off. Saturday, January 30th is the Manifesting 101 workshop, and it's about 2 hours long. February 6th is the Mastering Detachment, which I always tell people that it's good to take both of them, I'll probably be combining them in the future as well. So if you're not able to take them this time, everything is recorded too. So you get a recording of it as well. And then the last one is February 13th. It's a Divine Feminine Masterclass. And one of my dear friends, Stephanie, and I will be talking about what real Divine Feminine energy is supposed to look like and feel like, since we all grew up living in the masculine energy for so long. So it should be pretty interesting. It's going to be sort of one of those revolutionary things where people are going to go, huh? we have to learn how to be different. But yeah, we're going to talk about how the feminine energy is turning into something softer than it used to be.
So it'll be pretty cool. And so the best way to connect with you for the workshops is also on your website.
Yes, you can go to fearlessintuition.net. You can also visit Fearless Intuition on YouTube. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all of the socials. But yeah, the best part to sign up for and register for the workshops are on my website. You just click book a session and it'll take you right there.
Perfect. Great. All right, Betsy. Well, don't be a stranger. Come back anytime. And again, thanks for being on the program.
I would love to. Thank you, Michelle. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Take good care.
Have a good day.
Much peace.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everyone. Of course, that was Betsy from Fearless Intuition. You can find her on YouTube or fearlessintuition.net if you want to find out more information. Thank you, everyone in the chat. You're extra special and so much info I see in the chat and questions. Really appreciate you all being here. And those of you that called in, thank you so much for your participation. Also, if you did not get your question answered or didn't get a reading, you can call back next week because I have only a certain amount of time for that portion of the show, but I am here next Wednesday and every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So, lovies, as always, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcast every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Archive shows available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversations and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook. And check out Michelle's blog at soulplayground.com. And keep awake.